Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to open this afternoon's meeting of the Camden Local Planning Panel by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the Camden Local Government area, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. My name's Michael Manty. I'm the chairperson of today's meeting of the Camden Local Planning Panel. The other members on the panel today are Mary Lynn Taylor, Grant Christmas, and Dean Boone. Our role as the panel is to determine the applications on today's agenda. I can say that we've been provided with the council officer's assessment reports for each item, copies of the submissions received, and copies of the documents submitted with the development each application. In accordance with the panel's operating procedures, this meeting is being audio recorded for publication of Council's website. No other recordings, either by audio or video, are permitted without the prior approval of the panel. The meeting will be in two parts. First part is the public part, the second part is a private part. In the public part, the panel will hear from representations from objectors to the applications on today's agenda and from representatives of the applicants. We'll hear from objectors first on each item and applicants second on each item. At the conclusion of presentations, the panel will adjourn in private to discuss and agree on the panel's determination of each item. Panel's minutes will be published on Council's website within 48 hours. We have five items on today's agenda. Before I call the first item, may I have any declarations of interest from panel members?
Michael, Dean Boone here. I'd just like to declare an interest in item two, and I will be excusing myself from that item.
Mary Lynn Taylor, I have no declaration of interest to make today.
Grant Christmas, no declaration.
Thank you, Grant. No declarations from me. A couple of procedural matters. If you can keep your cameras turned off and your microphones on mute until I call your name. Then make a presentation to the panel, and then at the end of your presentation, if you can then return to mute and turn cameras off. First item on the panel's agenda today is an application to modify development consent for a BP service station at 12 Argyle Street, Camden. The modification relates principally to landscaping works approved under the original consent. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I have two people listed to speak against the recommendation and one representative of the applicant. I'll call the beg your pardon, three people to speak against the recommendation. I'll call the first speaker on my list, and that's Sue Cross. Sue, are you online and can you tell us what your concerns are about the proposal and the recommendation?
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Hello, Sue. Yes, I can.
Hi. Look, I'm happy with the council's recommendation, but I've decided to speak against the agenda item because the community, including myself, thinks there should be consequences for breaching the approved plans. I live in the heritage conservation area close to the service station in Argyle Street. I have watched closely and been appalled by what has occurred on the site. Trees that were earmarked to be retained, sorry, excuse me, became brown around their bases and looked unhealthy, although other nearby vegetation remained unaffected. My understanding is that these trees were required to be protected, but I saw no evidence of that or that anything was being done to save them. I believe many people repeatedly brought this to council's attention, but possibly because a private certifier was engaged, it was not apparent that any decisive action was being taken. I then noticed that the trees were removed altogether. Every trace of the vegetation on the site was totally cleared before construction began. What eventuated was a starkly unacceptable development in this prominent and sensitive location. The landscaping was minimal, nothing like the approved landscape plan, and the sparse planting looked unwatered and ready to die. The building sits very uncomfortably adjacent to a heritage listed building and looks completely wrong with no softening vegetation between them. The non-compliance is finally being addressed, and I'm pleased with the extent of the consent conditions, especially the Boston ivy and the jacaranda tree, which should see the site much improved. However, two facts remain. The unique character of the town has suffered for over 2 years, and the community has lost faith in the planning system that allowed this debacle to go on for so long. There have been, as far as I know, no repercussions that send a signal to developers that approvals and consent conditions must be honoured. In fact, it seems that if the community had not spent lots of time persistently pursuing the breaches, that this developer and private certifier could have got away with it completely. This is not the way it should work, and it sends an unacceptable message. I note the council has allowed the developer to plant trees in the nature strip instead of on site to bring the level of landscaping to what is required. I think at the very least, the developer should be made to compensate for what has happened with this DA by planting many more street trees or trees on public land that will enhance the conservation area. It is in the public interest that this outcome and any other outcome of the breaches should go on the public record. Developers should be in no doubt that there are ramifications for not following approved plans. It is also very important, It is also very important that the community is reassured that this case of non-compliance was a one-off and that the rules are normally enforced in a timely manner if they are not followed. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. This is an announcement for all submitters to the panel today. Can you please keep your presentations to 4 minutes? That time can be extended at the discretion of the chair. Sue, if you can just hold on the line, there might be some questions from other panel members. Other panel members, got any questions? No? Okay. Thanks very much, Sue.
Okay, thanks.
I've got David Nethercoat as the next person on my list to speak against the recommendation. You there, David? If you can unmute by, I think, pressing.
Hello? Yep.
Yes, David.
Oh, good.
Hello, David. Yes, it's Michael. Michael here. If you can tell us what your concerns are about the proposal.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity to address the panel. This service station should never have been approved for construction. It sits next door to a successful service station that has been well patronised for over 30 years and provides fuel and other related products, including light snacks. This business is housed in a modest construction designed in a fitting manner for a country town. Its low-key style at the entryway to Camden is unobtrusively offered as a service, not a feature. By contrast, the current construction asserts itself as though it is a destination in itself. Brightly lit, shining and imposing, it commands attention in a way that dominates. Far from adding anything to the heritage area, it diminishes this important entry point. It also asserts itself over the existing station. To allow for a servo to be built next door, offering the same thing, is provocative. Fast food outlets can effectively exist together, as they will offer contrasting food choices, from hamburgers and chicken foods to a bundle of enticing choices. Petrol is a different matter. Even the most refined palate cannot distinguish between fuels. The only difference will be price, and here the older servo is consistently at least 1 cent cheaper. Furthermore, a previous entrepreneur attempted a similar construction. Valiantly, the older servo battled on and finally won. For reasons unknown, the former disruptor shut up shop and the structure was demolished. The same fate may well befall the current new kid on the block. Approval was granted to construct the new servo with a number of conditions, one of which concerns the trees in the ground. As preparations are underway, for the new construction, a mystery unfolded. The trees slated for removal flourished, but the three deemed to be retained suddenly encountered health problems. When trees under attack, They typically sacrifice the canopy to reduce stress and hope to save the trunk. These three trees went the other way, dying from the bottom up in a manner similar to the way they would if poisoned. Attempts to examine the outing trees were unwelcomed. The result was all the trees were in fact removed, some by human hands, some inexplicably by nature itself, or so it seemed. Fortune had favoured the developer, all the trees were gone. Which brings us to the matter of concern today. This DA has a troubled history of non-compliance. The idea was provocative, the design egregiously overt, offering more a threat than a welcome to visitors, and now the developer wants to gain approval for a landscaping job after work was started. The construction was signed off by a private certifier despite significant deviations from the original DA. That is a problem in itself. It was only when community members questioned the construction that council was finally induced to act. The current requirements of this DA fall short of ideal, but maybe the best we can hope for. Thanks to the efforts of a council member, some improvements have been made to reinstate some of the lost vegetation. However, the whole procedure has been one of fudges. This sets a precedent that others will grab onto, hoping to build first, then gain approval. Such procedures should have penalties. To date, this developer has got away scot-free. I urge this panel to recommend that council closely monitor developments and assure stringent adherence to what is approved, not follow the whim of the builder. Thank you.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Thank you, David. Any questions from other panel members? No. If I could just make one comment, David, this isn't a question, it's just a comment, but the panels, we have limited powers when it comes to investigating and enforcing breaches of planning law. It's beyond the powers of the panel to do that. We can only approve applications and impose conditions. Of course, we expect conditions will be complied with when we impose them, but sometimes there aren't, as we know, and this site isn't unique.
Right.
No. But I take your point that there have been breaches, or at least the council report identifies some breaches of the consent instance, and action has been taken. This modification application has been brought forward as a result of the action taken by council officers.
Right.
So, thanks, David.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have Glenda Davis on the line to speak against the application.
Yes, you do. I'm here.
Hello, Glenda.
Would you like
to tell us what the issues are?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of Camden Residents Action Group. We wish to make clear we are not speaking against the recommendation in the agenda report as such, but against the seeming lack of consequences for non-compliances with the panel's determination of the 13th of December 2018. We believe we speak on behalf of the broad community in expressing our dissatisfaction with the history of this DA and the time and effort taken to reach this point. We wish to thank the council officer for carefully considering our objections about the section 4.55 attempt to legitimise the non-compliances and for including many consent conditions that creatively redress the insult to this sensitive gateway in the heritage conservation area. However, the fact remains that the service station was constructed and has been operational for a whole year, despite being non-compliant with the approved plans and consent conditions. The history of this DA has raised many questions in the community and damaged confidence in the role of private certifiers and enforcement of consent conditions. The community asked whether the breaches would have slipped under the radar if it had not persistently pursued them for well over 2 years. Whilst we appreciate the recommendation to restore a level of landscaping that is commensurate with the site's prominence, there is seemingly no compensation or consequences for the breaches. Even if these are outside the scope of the panel to action, we request that it be put on the record for follow-up. Otherwise, it is an open invitation for developers and private certifiers to regard the detail of determinations including consent conditions, as optional. In short, we consider that achieving something similar to the approved landscape plan is not sufficient to satisfy the community's sense of outrage. The community highly values the conservation area and feels that it has been grossly disrespected. Feedback from the community is that the developer should be required to maximise vegetation and now contribute to Camden's unique sense of place. We request off-site compensatory planting for the following breaches. Firstly, the omission of the approved landscaping and concreting of the area between the service station and the heritage listed property next door at 16 Argyle Street has resulted in a jarring contrast in architecture and degradation of the setting and significance of the heritage building. On inexplicably finding after the approval that there was not room for the landscaping, compensatory measures should have been investigated and a modification lodged. The building could have been repositioned slightly to allow greater room. Instead, no action was taken to comply with the landscape plan, and we are left with a glaring contradiction. Secondly, it's understood that the community first brought attention to the mysterious ill health of trees to be retained as early as May 2019. Our group many times provided photographic evidence of their deterioration from the ground up, despite other trees and vegetation remaining healthy. These lost trees were mature and provided a canopy and backdrop contributing to the renowned leafiness of the conservation area. This cannot be replaced in the short or even medium term, particularly as Council's landscape officer has discounted our request for very large or heritage pot-sized plantings. Council has already very generously allowed the applicant to plant street trees to overcome some of the non-compliances. We strongly request that Council require further significant planting on Council land in compensation for the breaches of the approval and publicly record that outcome. We insist that it's imperative that a clear message be sent to all developers and private certifiers that respect for approval conditions and consent authorities is not optional. We also submit that nothing less will restore the community's faith in the planning system, which has been severely tested throughout the history of this DA. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenda. Any questions from panel members? No? No questions? Okay. Glenda, I'm just, I am not sure how the panel would have the power to require compensatory planting, so significant compensatory planting arising out of the breach, when that is essentially a consequence of the breach rather than a consequence of the modification application. So our powers are limited to issues arising out of the modification application rather than the breach. Have you explored that at all or thought about that? How this panel might address what you're asking it to do?
I think if it could be recorded in the minutes, that would be a good idea, and that Council could explore that. And then perhaps we could pursue it further directly with Council.
Right.
Yeah. We do think it needs to be put on the public record, that this would be a good idea, and that the breaches should never have happened in the first place, and that there are repercussions.
Mm. Okay, right. Well, I'll talk to the other panel members about that in private session.
Oh, that'd be good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenda. Okay, that concludes the against speakers, unless there's anyone else on the line that wish to speak against it. I now have Adam Crampton, who is a town planner representing the applicant in that matter. You on the line, Adam?
Yes, I am, thank you.
So, Adam, is there anything you wish to put to the panel that you've heard from the objectors or anything in addition to those matters?
No, to be honest, not all that much. Thank you for the opportunity. I was primarily here just to be available to answer any questions the panel members may have had. And look, I agree with your advice to Ms. Davis that I don't know that punitive conditions of consent are probably within the remit of the panel or the council. The works that have now been required by the suggested conditions by council have included additional planting beyond that which was initially proposed, and the applicant has agreed to all of that, including quite a large jacaranda at the front of the building and moving the water tank from where it currently is to make room for that. So there has been additional works, including that Boston ivy, that have been required and will be carried out. Primarily, I was here to, as I said, first of all, answer questions from the panel as required, and also to thank the council staff. This has been quite a long running story, both in getting the original application approved and then resolving these issues around here. And I'd like to, I guess, go on record to thank the council staff for their professional way in which they've handled it. We haven't always agreed with everything, but we've come to what I think is as a professional and appropriate conclusion.
Okay, thanks, Adam. Any questions from panel members? No questions. Adam, so you've heard the sense of outrage from the local residents. I'm conscious that that the service station is operating already, and there's really nothing compelling. Well, apart from the conditions, nothing compelling these works to be done with any particular time. You've been provided with a copy of the draft conditions, and you'll see that there's a condition there requiring amended plans to be submitted within 30 days, and that the works then to be completed within 4 months of the date of the modification. I assume that condition's acceptable to the applicant and it's achievable?
Yes, it is.
It's achievable, okay. Right, yeah, then. And all other conditions are accepted?
They are.
Okay. Righto, Adam. Well, thanks. Thank you for your presentation. That concludes item one. Now, Dean Boone has declared an interest in item two, so I'll ask Dean to be put in the waiting room now so that he doesn't take any part in the discussion with item two. So if that can be done by the administrator, and let me know when it's happened. Not sure whether I can see Dean's.
You got the thumbs up, Michael.
Okay, righto. Okay, well, we'll move on now to item two on the panel's agenda. Now, item two is a development application for construction of a residential flat building at 88 Podium Way, Oran Park. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I have a number of people listed to answer questions if needed and make any presentation if required in favour of the recommendation. The head of the list is John Gunner, architect. We've also got Michael Roger, Todd Cremieri, Mick Owens and Wayne Parrish. So, John, I assume you're leading the charge. If there's anyone else that wants to speak first, let me know.
Yeah, Michael, it's Wayne Parrish. If I could just give an introduction.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So Michael Rogers, our planner from Urban Co. John Gunnell, as you said, was the architect from AJC for the building. Todd Cremery is from Anne-Marie Management. He's our project manager for Greenfields. And Mick Owens is an apology. He's our general manager for Greenfields. He was going to do this introduction, but asked me to do so. So just quickly, a brief intro on Metro Central apartment building. It's going to complement the existing Metro One building that's probably 80% through construction at the moment. It has been planned with other commercial and residential buildings in that precinct, and it'll be the final building to complete that area. It's designed to provide higher density residential apartments near the town centre to activate the town. It also gives consumers in the Oran Park area more choice of accommodation. It's also near the future rail and the town centre, as I said before. It's a quality building that has been designed by AJNC architects who did Metro One, the first building, and will be constructed by Richard Crook Construction to a building who built TRN House and existing Metro and are currently constructing the Commercial 2 building. So they're reputable builders. It's part of our future higher density plan for the Oran Park town, and the team's available to answer any questions from anybody.
Okay, thanks, Wayne. Any questions generally from panel members? No? Okay, well, can I ask whether you have Wayne or John or anyone wishes to address the panel on the conditions of consent that are recommended by the council officers?
Oh, hi, Michael. It's Michael here from Urban Co. So jump in, and we just wanted to quickly address the panel on some of those proposed conditions. Thanks, Wayne, for providing a bit of a background there. We certainly see from a placemaking perspective, this precinct is an integral part of the Oran Park project, delivering a range of high density apartment buildings, commercial buildings, and a range of facilities that sit right next to the existing town centre and the future train station, the leisure centre, walkable distance to existing schools and playing fields. So it's really going to form a fantastic integrated community within the broader Oran Park community. We've been working with council through some of the conditions of consent. I believe that Matthew Rawson had provided some requested amendments to conditions of consent that they had agreed with. There was one particular condition that we're hoping to work through and have a minor change in terms of the wording of that condition. Yes. That was recommended condition 1.2A in section 1 of the consent. At the moment, that condition relates to compliance with Australian Standard 2890.1. Mm-hmm. I guess to be clear, we have no issue with a condition of consent that specifies compliance with that Australian standard. We do know that there's a number of ways that we could achieve compliance with that standard, and some of those options have been discussed to date with council staff, and alternative options also suggested by council staff. So the simple change that we were hoping to achieve to that particular condition was to simplify that a little bit, to simply require that the car park is to be designed in accordance with the Australian standard, rather than specify the exact manner in which the compliance is achieved. So there are a number of ways we can achieve compliance with that that we're working through at the moment, and we'd, I guess, the preference is to simplify that condition to have essentially just the first sentence. So still requiring the development to achieve compliance with the standard, but there's just a number of options that we are investigating to specifically address that issue. And we'd like to, I guess, keep a bit of flexibility in terms of the manner in which compliance is achieved, so that we're not strictly required to achieve compliance in one particular manner. I guess when working through a lot of these developments, if sometimes the more we specify in the conditions, it makes it difficult to deliver the projects without having to come back and do a modification later. And ideally, we'd like to avoid that if possible. So our preference is to simply have that first sentence in the condition that says we have to achieve compliance with that Australian standard, and just work through with the certifier council the manner in which we achieve compliance.
Can you give us an outline of what your options are, if that's possible?
Yep. So on the basement levels, there's a particular section of the car park that I think the specific Australian standard allows for the 6 or 8 parking bays in a row before you have to.
Can I just pause you there? Pause you there? Is there someone from council that can share a copy of the floor plan on screen, please?
Yes, Michael, we can arrange that. It's coming up now.
There it is. Okay. That might make it easier there, Michael, if you can. So we're looking at that aisle there on the car parking floor plan. You want to
So there's a number of ways that, that we could achieve compliance. So essentially it relates to the public accessibility to the that particular extent of the basement car park.
Yeah.
So we could provide an additional boom gate, or there's already a swipe pass and a garage roller door at the front entry of the car park, and then you'll see on the southern portion as you go in, you come down, you go around the basement ramp and down to the second levels and past the visitor car parking spaces. So that southern portion, we could also put an additional boom gate in there to ensure that the public can't access, you know, the visitors, I guess we're talking about, can't access that that part, rather than necessarily having a turnaround bay and taking out car parking spaces. So there's a range of ways in which we're looking at controlling visitor access within the car park area that will achieve compliance with the condition, rather than necessarily taking out parking spaces to have turnaround bays.
Okay. Yep. Right. I understand.
And there's two or three different options that we're looking at, which we think could address compliance with the Australian standard. And we're, as I said, we're happy for the condition to say we have to achieve compliance with that standard, just rather not specifically say how we have to achieve compliance, so that
you don't
if we go one way rather than the other, it just saves a lot of time not having to come back with a modification down the track.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm just talking off the top here, but if the condition is left open in the way that you're suggesting, the way of achieving that condition may result in a change to the approved plan. How would you see that being approved by the certifier?
I guess the certifier would. I don't think it'd necessarily need to warrant a change to the plan that would be that significant that the certifier couldn't certify compliance with that condition.
Right. Okay. Any other questions from the panel members about that issue or any other issue?
So if I could just, I guess, just in context, these apartment buildings are being delivered by the Perich family who own Oran Park and have delivered Oran Park. So, and they're building the existing, the apartment buildings right next door, which is Metro One, as Wayne had discussed. This isn't something that I guess we're looking to try and get out of compliance. It's the family who have delivered all of Oran Park and looking to build the apartments themselves. It's not, it's not a speculative project in any way. This is certainly a legacy project for the family, and really the reason that that we would like to see some flexibility in that condition is that the family are looking to get this underway straight away. The Metro One building is nearly complete, and certainly the family's has a a very clear intent to get this apartment building out of the ground as soon as possible. There's a lot of interest from the local community for a variety of housing to be provided, and these apartments deliver that diversity in housing that I think everybody recognises is a benefit for the local community. So really it's about being able to get on and build these, get underway and just deliver the project.
Questions?
Michael, I'll make a comment there. I think at a practical level that there needs to be some certainty as to how that blind aisle is going to work. I can see the problem what council is trying to overcome and why there is an Australian standard. If the applicant isn't going to proffer their exact solution to it, my view would be that the council solution is one of a number. And as I say, unless the applicant, I understand the applicant's desire for some sort of flexibility, but the problem needs to be addressed now. If they come up with another solution, they come back with a modification application, I don't think that stops the development from proceeding or anything drastic like that. So that'd be my view on that matter.
Thanks, Grant. Any questions from Mary Lynn? We've only got one other panel member now on this one. Mary Lynn? No questions? Okay. All other conditions are either accepted or you've discussed them with the council officers and come to an agreement as to adjustments, I understand.
Yes. Yep. So we've worked through there's a number of other conditions that were some minor changes or standard conditions that weren't necessarily applicable to this application. Keen to move ahead. We haven't come across this issue on the adjoining Metro One building. I don't think it's a huge issue in terms of the amendment to the condition. So we're hopeful that experience on other applications, certainly not unusual for a condition to simply require compliance with that particular Australian standard rather than necessarily specifically outlining every manner in which a DA achieves compliance. Certainly it's pretty common for other car parking areas and other DAs to simply require compliance with that standard. That standard covers a whole range of public car parking areas, so wouldn't be unusual for the condition to simply require compliance with that Australian standard.
Okay. Thanks for your presentation. As I said at the beginning of the meeting, we will, after we hear from the last item, we'll adjourn in private and prepare our determinations. And the panel minutes will be available on the council's website within 48 hours.
Right. Thank you very much for your time.
Our pleasure, and thank you for you and your team. I'll move on to the next item. And if Dean Boone can be brought back into the room. Yep, we've got Dean.
Yes, I'm back, thanks.
Righto. Okay, Dean. Next item on the panel's agenda is a development application for a subdivision of stage 6C to create 41 residential lots and 3 super lots, construction of public roads and essential services and associated subdivision works, including landscaping and civil works at 4 Battersby Avenue, Oran Park. Council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I don't have any speakers for or against that item on my list. So just in case there is anyone online that wishes to address the panel on that item number 3, please speak now. No? Okay, well, I'll move on to item number four. This is a development application for internal and external alterations to repair fire and water damage in the Whiteman's building at 76 to 100 Argyle Street, Camden. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I have two people listed to speak or answer questions for the recommendation, in favour of the recommendation. First person is Andrew Osborne, owner of the building. Andrew, do you wish to address the panel on any particular issue or answer questions?
No, I'm fine. I'm just, again, here to answer questions should any of the panel members need some information.
Yep, okay. And I suppose, is Richard Healy Finlay online as well?
Yeah, I'm here as well. Again, okay. Similar to Andrew, I'm here just to answer any questions if it comes up.
Yep. Okay. Any questions from the panel members on that item? No?
No, no, Mark.
Okay. Well, either Andrew or Richard, can you just outline the sequence of events in reconstructing this building? Because we're aware that there's a development application for a roof. It was approved but hasn't been constructed. Now we've got an application for internal works and another application on today's agenda for occupation of two of the suites. Can you just give us a short outline of the sequence of, you know, construction phase events that you see being undertaken on the building?
Richard, I'll do the roof part if you can do the future DAs, if that's all right.
Sure. No problem.
As many of you know, the fire place in the building in September 2020. Encouraged by the council, we submitted a DA for just the roof. Between demolition and asbestos and heritage concerns, it took us some time to get that approval. Work commenced a few months ago. It's a significant project. Shortage of materials, labour, presence of COVID and inclement weather impacted fairly heavily upon the time frame it's taken. As we stand here today, this structural steel has been installed already. Roof trusses faithfully informed go up on Monday, and we're going to do our utmost to have the roof largely completed, subject to builder's availability, mid to late January. That's the DA that you're referring to. Richard can perhaps outline the second DA and possibly we'll probably touch it later, item five.
Yep. I'll take up from Andrew. Any questions on Andrew's bit there from the panel?
No, not from me.
No.
I can see the other guys. Yep.
That's clear.
So just dovetailing from what Andrew said, we were given advice that we should do separate DAs just so we could expedite the roof. So the roof is underway. We put in a separate DA for the internal works and BCA upgrade. There's a fair bit of coordination required to get all the stakeholders happy. Heritage, BCA, fire. So there's also a fair bit of work to the building because it's been some time since there was considerable work done on the building. So we've reached a solution which complies with the BCA. There is a couple of performance solutions, but we're quite happy with those. And essentially the big push is getting the first floor out to the street via the new lift and the stair. So that's a big component of the BCA upgrade. There's also some adjustments to the layout of that first floor. And that's essentially, in a nutshell, what the DA is about.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
That's all right.
Any questions from panel members on that?
No, none from me, thanks.
No, that's clear. It looks like that's the way forward. It's quite a difficult process. I can now that it's been explained, I can see why it's been sequenced in that way. Thank you. Thank you to the applicant's representatives for letting us know.
Yep.
That's okay.
Okay then. Well, we might move on then to item number 5 then, which is in the same building. So I don't know. Well, I know Andrew is listed to speak to us on that one. Richard, you might. I don't know whether you're engaged on it. Maybe not.
I'm not, but I can pipe in if needed. I'll just stay on the line.
Righto. Well, Andrew, do you want to make any representations to us about item number 5, the fit out of suites 1 and 3 in that building, a change of use to an indoor recreation facility, 24-hour gym?
Actually, I'm just the landlord on that one, but
okay.
I have interest in it, so Richard's probably far more across the town planning issues. I know that the applicants were having a bit of trouble. Richard kindly lent a hand to them, because the crossover between the DA in item number 4 and this one was creating a very complex path for them. Richard probably is a little more across the detail. But look, again, I think we're just here to answer questions that any panel member may have.
Well, I should ask whether you have seen the recommended conditions of consent by the council officers, and whether you have any issues with them, and and want to put something to the panel about those conditions.
Look, I've read the conditions. I'm happy with them. Andrew.
I
right on.
Haven't read them, and if Richard's happy, I'm happy.
Yep. Okay then. Well, I think that's probably concludes the fifth item as well, which brings us to an end of the public part of this meeting. As I said earlier in the meeting, we will now deliberate in private and prepare our minutes and determinations, and our minutes will be available on the Courts Council's website within 48 hours. And the notices of determination will then be issued by council officers in due course after that. If it gets approved, you can get on with it in the new year. Material supply, weather and COVID pending. I understand the difficulty that you've been in trying to get this thing fixed up. Okay. Well, I might now just then formally call an end to the public part of this meeting. The panel will now convene in private, and our minutes will be published on the council's website within 48 hours. Thank you, everybody, for attending.